In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Things are a little different today. Today is the beginning of Holy Week. And the core task of Holy Week is to remember together. To remember a week in Jesus' life that began with shouts of praise and great excitement among the people of Jerusalem, but ended in a trial, a brutal crucifixion, and the placing of his body in a tomb. We are also called to remember together how this story fits within the larger story of God's relationship with creation and the way in which a miraculous resurrection has set us all free from the power of death and the power of that which is not God. In Holy Week, we set aside time to remember. We begin by commemorating the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem in advance of Passover. This entry manifests a prophecy of Zechariah that a king would come, humble and mounted on a donkey. A king who would bring peace and establish a kingdom that would extend to the ends of the earth. Jesus entered Jerusalem through the East Gate, a lesser accessed gate, thronged by a large crowd, throwing cloaks on the ground before him and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" The word Hosanna literally means, "Save us, O God." And it was a phrase used during the festival of Sukkot, when people would process around the altar using palm branches, waving them back and forth, thanking God and praying for a fruitful harvest. Embedded in the word Hosanna is hope for the future and an acknowledgement that God is the source of all hope. The use of the phrase Son of David indicates their confidence that this is their king. They have been without a king for centuries, and now, at last, their king has arrived. This entry, we are told in the gospel, provokes turmoil in Jerusalem, with many in the city unfamiliar with Jesus trying to figure out who this person is. And turmoil is tricky. This is where I have some empathy for the situation faced by the high priests and other religious leaders. On the other side of the city, Pilate is entering the mighty West Gate in his war horse, with his war horses and troops. As governor of Judea, he lived in a stately home in Caesarea by the sea. But he would come to Jerusalem in advance of the feast days to take up temporary residence and install troops to patrol the city, lest anything get out of hand as people worshiped their god. Pilate's authority included the appointment of high priests and control of the temple and its funds. In fact, Pilate had custody of the high priest's vestments and would only release them to the high priest for the Jewish festivals. So likely on this same day, there were two processions. One of the Messiah arriving on a donkey to usher in a new kingdom, and one of a governor from the Roman Empire there to ensure that there would be no unrest, that no acts of worship would lead to revolt or to riots. In between stood the high priest and the religious leaders. If Rome caught wind of a rival king, what might they do to the Jewish people and to their temple? Perhaps these leaders felt as though they had done the best they could to eke out a future for their faith in the midst of occupation and the power of empire. The priests and scribes were not able to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, and so in their minds, he could only be an agitator, a rabble-rouser, about to bring the wrath of the Roman Empire on all their heads. I can see how they got there, because fear can be powerful. And once you go down the road of catastrophizing, it can be very difficult to see what is even more true than one's fear. And the city was in turmoil. The next public action of Jesus did not help the leaders grow more sensitive to him, because the next thing he did was enter the temple and drove out the moneylenders and those seeking to profit off the system of sacrifice. He accused them of turning his house into a den of robbers. It would have been perceived for sure as a strike against the religious leaders, but since the temple funds were ultimately under the authority of Pilate, it may also have been perceived as an attack on Rome's influence on the temple. Meanwhile, he continued to go about healing the blind and the lame who came to him. Jesus went on to tell the religious leaders parables in which the kingdom is given to tax collectors and prostitutes and taken away from those who profess righteousness. The parables eventually gave way to direct confrontations and words like these: "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cross sea and land to make a single convert, and you make the new convert twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." The leaders began a plot to kill him. But they decided not during the Passover festival that week, lest that incite a riot that would then provoke Pilate and his troops. They would wait until Passover was over and Pilate had left. But that's not what happened, is it? So what changed their timing? It may have had something to do with a woman. Jesus that week was staying in the home of a leper in Bethany when a woman approached him with costly ointment and poured it over his head. And Jesus said, "She is recognizing the coming of my death and she's preparing my body for that moment." Well, this scene was so upsetting to the disciples. And apparently, it was so disruptive to Judas that he got up from the meal and left. He went to the chief priests and he said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" The opportunity had come to the leaders, and they did not then hesitate to act. Into Jerusalem, on the week of Passover, came two processions. One was led by a symbol of the Roman Empire sitting on a war horse, entering with troops and great official fanfare. Another was led by the one who sought to redeem the entire world, sitting humbly on the back of a donkey as the poor, the blind, and the lame, among other disciples, cried out, "God, save us." In a single city, two realities came clashing against each other, that of empire and that of a radical new kingdom of heaven. And in the middle stood those who had to decide where to place their allegiance. Like Judas, they had to confront the difference between what they wanted Jesus to be and who Jesus actually was, as do we all. We are called to grapple with Jesus, to tend closely to what Jesus said he was about and what that reveals about God and God's hopes for us, and to notice the places where we want Jesus to be something else, a warrior, a good moral teacher, a buddy, a remover of all suffering, or perhaps someone who will take up the interests of our group. When we gather together during Holy Week to take up the task of remembering, we seek out the actual Jesus at the heart of the story. The Jesus who took on human form that he might walk among us, teach and learn from us, and draw us into an emerging kingdom that allows us to enjoy the very love and community experienced within the Trinity. The Jesus who allowed humanity to do its worst to him, that he might share the best of what God has to offer. I invite you to join me this week as we remember together what Jesus has done and all that God continues to offer to us. In a bit, we will recite the story of Christ's passion. We will leave this room in silence. And then we will gather again on Thursday to wash each other's feet, to share a meal, and to remember some of Christ's final words to his disciples. We will watch the stripping of the altar and contemplate the humiliation of Christ at the hands of those he loved. On Friday, we will enter a different procession, this time the procession to the cross. We will create room to remember the loss and devastation that his death brought to his disciples. And then on Saturday evening, we will remember the story of God and humanity as revealed in Scripture over time. And through the baptism of Tyler Kahn, we will remember our own baptism and the way in which we have died with Christ and have risen with him into new life. And at last, at the declaration of Easter, we will remember that a resurrection followed death, and everything is made new in Jesus Christ, the risen King. So come, let us take this vital journey of remembering together.